You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Anyway, what's going on, everybody? This is a special episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black.
Too close. This makes me nervous.
This making you nervous?
Yeah, I don't like when like liquids are so close to the edge and to technology. I don't play that.
It's a brand new episode of Off Book. It's actually a very special episode.
Special.
Oh, hey. The voices came
a special
out?
Episode. That's because the Hennessy is doing his job.
Oh, my goodness. Look, I can't wait to get into mine. My cup. You just had a voice anew. You just
said lamb chops.
You just said that lamb chops life. No lamb chops tonight.
Giving voice anew.
Yeah. Get away from me.
I love it. Y'all, this is a special episode. We just doing listener letters. We got a whole bunch of stuff in our email, and it's the end of the year. You're going to be hearing this actually on the 29th, like right before the new year happens. And
yay.
So, you know, we want to go on vacation and like, you know, live our lives and stuff. And so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to come out on the 31st, actually. Yeah, the 31st.
Yay.
31st of December.
Well, so it is coming out today.
Yeah, today. Boom.
Happy New Year.
I'm like, what is this nigga saying?
Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve.
Oh, it is New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so
oh my God,
cool.
I got on my ball gown. I look so beautiful. Oh my God.
What ball you want to?
And I just got engaged. I'm just saying things I want to happen on New Year's
Eve.
You
know what? New Year's
just got engaged. Did you hear what she just said?
I know that's right.
Who are you doing?
Oh my God, my head is so heavy.
Be,
like, look at it. Ain't it so cute? Oh my God.
I would be alarmed.
You would be alarmed.
I would be confusion. I am confusion. Drew, we need to sit down and talk to Amber real quick.
Right, we need to have an intervention.
We do.
We need to intervene. Because we don't even know this nigga.
And she don't even know this nigga.
And she engaged.
90-day fiancé shit.
10-day fiancé shit. What?
So what are y'all plans for the new year?
Ooh. Well, me and my fiancé are going to go have a...
Okay. Okay. Let's start again.
Bitch, are you drunk?
Let's come back into the reality of where we are in life.
I don't know what I'm doing. What are you doing, Drew?
I think that if all goes as planned, I think that a friend of mine is throwing like a hotel suite party. And so that should be happening. I should be getting real cute for that today.
Love.
And yeah, just kicking it. Like not really. Like, just getting ready for, because I've been preparing for the new year for some months now. Like,
praise
I've been
God.
On my whole health journey.
Come through.
I probably just want to stand in front of the mirror naked and just look how
let
great
it swing,
I look.
Swing
yeah,
a ding-a-ling.
Like, just look how gorgeous my body is and how far I've come. And I mean, because I be getting up at early in the morning going to the gym, y'all.
I know.
And so that shit is not easy. So I want to celebrate myself in that way. So
yeah,
I might
put some tassels on it.
Listen, I mean,
paint it red, white, and blue for America. Do whatever you want to do it, huh?
A tassel on his dick?
Yeah.
Okay.
You like dick tassels?
I've just never heard of it before.
We can invent it.
Right.
Come
hello.
Through.
They'll buy it.
Uh-huh. It you can know, be black and gold for Broadway
come.
Black.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yes, I love it. So, yeah, that's probably what I'm doing. Danya, what's your plans for the new year?
My nigga going to be in bed.
In bed?
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
You're not like going to go nowhere?
No. Brandon and I are always in bed on Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving. On.
On all the holidays.
On all the holidays. But yeah, on
what y'all
New
be
Year's,
doing?
We just be in bed holding each other and just saying,
being
aw,
gay.
Being gay.
Aw, we gay.
That's what we say. We just hold each other and be like, aw, we gay.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
So that's our New Year's Eve.
Well, that's what's up, y'all. Well, thank y'all for listening to this special episode of Off Book. We hit our marks, and I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Danya Love.
And I'm Princess Queen Amber Iman.
And we're going to get right into these listener letters.
Yes.
So we have like a whole, so Claudia has written us and said, hey, Mr. Shade, Mr. Love, and Princess Amber Iman.
Yes!
Okay, this Princess Amber Iman thing is like, y'all are really taking this
y'all
to heart.
Y'all really greet me in public.
As Princess.
And be like, oh my God, Princess Amber. And I'd be like,
hey!
Did somebody tell you why you haven't changed your Instagram
yeah, they were like,
to Princess
yeah,
Amber Iman?
People were like, I don't understand why your handle isn't Princess Amber Iman. I was like, that's not a real thing.
To a lot of people, it is.
But yeah, a lot of people, okay. It is. And I love it. Don't stop, guys. I kind of adore it. Thank you. It's great.
They said, hope all is well. I love your work you all are doing with Off Book, as well as individually. My question is... Oh, you weren't here. We read this. You weren't here for this. That's why I wanted
we
to
read
this
one.
Again.
Okay.
We read this one. This is, how do you differentiate between not right now and not your calling? So we read this before, but I wanted Amber to answer this too because she wasn't here for this.
Okay.
So how do you differentiate between not right now and not your calling?
That is such a good question.
And this is from Cecilia. Excuse me, not Claudia. This is from Cecilia.
Ooh.
And do they, when you guys answered it, were you talking about like work, like gigs, like booking things, or like life things, or?
I think it was like a combination.
Combination of all.
Not right now. I think that's, I feel like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a doozy.
It was a doozy.
I feel like it's a doozy because, like, I just had a moment like this. A woman wanted to meet with me about managing me and managing my career. And she was asking me, like, all those kind of questions. Where do you see your career? What are you looking for? What do you want? And I was saying, you know, there was a show that I really wanted and didn't get. And I felt like it was a combination of not my calling and not right now, because maybe that specific show was not my calling. And it wasn't for me to do that right now, but I'm looking for that in another form, maybe further down the road when I'm more ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. I think timing has a lot to do with it. I can say that I have never like not gotten a show, then I saw it, and then I was like, oh, I missed out. Mm-hmm. Every time there was something that I wanted and I didn't book it, and I saw it or I read the reviews, I was like, mm-hmm. oh, God spared me.
Mm.
Every time you never see it in the moment. It's always like a year down the road.
Really
something
is.
That I love to do at the end of the year is every audition submission that I get, I keep it in my like agency folder. And I'll go back and look at all of them and be like, oh, that's the show that closed in 3 weeks. Or, oh, that was that show where, oh, I read it and I saw the reviews and it was trash. Like, I mean, it's kind of shady, but at the same time, it just helps me know and affirm the fact that I'm exactly where I am and I'm Amen. Doing exactly what I'm supposed yeah. to be doing. I don't think it's clear whether it is not my calling or not the right time. I don't think I have an answer for that. I think it's a combination of all of that. And I think it's every day making choices and decisions and hoping that you're doing the right thing for yourself at the right time.
Yeah.
I think that's a doozy.
Ain't it? Yeah. Not that was good too. Do you have anything you want to expound after you had, you know, some time to think about it, or anything you want to add?
At first I was like, well, what the fuck did I say last time? But I'm like, oh, I remember exactly what I said, and it pretty much still stands. Mm-hmm. If it's that thing that you first think about when you wake up, if it's the thing that you last think about when
before you go to bed, to sleep. Shout out.
Like, that is,
you know, I love that answer.
The call, because that is the calling. Like, that is what you're supposed to be doing, and for me, that's how you know the difference.
You're supposed to be a singer, girl.
That's why you love to answer.
If you wake up in the morning.
Get out of here, Sister Act.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so this is from Claudia. Claudia says, good morning, Drew, Danye, and Ambry Mon. I sent this message to your Instagram, but I wanted to send it through here just in case. My name is Claudia, and I'm a student from Colonial High. I was referred to you guys by my tutor, an active listener of your podcast. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm pursuing a career as an actress in musical theater. One of my assignments is to interview someone successful in the field. With that being said, I was wondering if I could ask any of you 7 questions about what you did to become who you are. Thank you. Sincerely, Claudia. And so I messaged Claudia back and said that she could send us the questions that we would read them on the show. And so this is where we're doing it at.
Love.
Wow. So we're doing all the questions?
We're doing all the questions.
That's cute.
That's sweet.
Right? Ain't that nice?
You be looking out for the little niggas.
Yeah.
Help
so
me.
That's beautiful.
Number one question is, what is your educational background?
Danye, you want to start?
Educational background. I'm laughing because my educational background, I went to school for, I thought I was going to be somebody's actor.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that is not a part of my ministry whatsoever.
Yes, it is. You can act, Danye.
Okay, but it's not a part of my ministry whatsoever.
And wasn't what's her name, Tiffany, that you went to school with,
mm-hmm.
was saying that you guys were in a production?
We were. Yeah. We were in August Wilson's Jitney together.
And who did you play?
I played Booster. And James
Ooh,
Imes
you had some, you
from
had some...
Kill Move Paradise was my dad. He was my Becker.
What?
We go way back to the way back. But that is how I realized that I am not an actor and I actually am a writer, from just the way I approached the text, how I looked at the dialogue, and not just my character, but I realized I was focusing on other characters in a way that didn't feel actor-centered. I was curious, why would the writer use this word out of every word known to like humankind? Why is the comma here? I was like, oh, Danye, you're looking at this text in a way that does not feel actor-centered at all. So, yeah. Acting, Was what I thought was going to be my journey, and then I eventually trickled my way to Juilliard.
And what school was you? What school were you at?
I was at Temple University. Okay. And then I trickled my way to Juilliard, which I'm currently at right now, and I'll be out of that sucker in May.
Work.
For playwriting.
Okay.
So yeah,
Amber.
So I guess for my education, my mother is an actor, so I've always been around performing arts. Growing up, she wanted to do what most artist mothers do, which is try to push you into doing something where you'll be happy and making money. So she put me in like arts and sciences and math camps. But at the same time, she was like, okay, I'm gonna get you this math and science over here. But just in case you decide you want to be a performer, I'm gonna put you in dance and singing and acting and everything. So that it was like I would do both and she would just figure out over time which one would take the lead. Mm-hmm. So all the way up into high school, I was still taking AP Calc, AP Psychology, AP Biology.
Come on, AP.
At the same time as doing performing arts. Then I thought I wanted to teach. So I was taking early childhood education classes. When I was a senior, I would leave school at noon and go teach pre-K-4.
Wow.
I taught pre-K-4 through eighth grade for a year. So I've always been doing both things. Mm-hmm. But then when I went to Howard, I went in as a theater major. I changed to musical theater because I was like, oh, I'm on a free ride and I can do both for the same price. Well, let me do music and dance if it's all free. And that's how I kind of got into musical theater. But yeah, because singing was not really like a thing that I saw myself doing. I know people say that and they look at me really crazy. Like, I wanted to sing background for NDIRE and John Mayer when I was a kid. Like, I just wanted to do like boo, mm-hmm. doo, wop, pop, pop. I wasn't one of those kids like, oh, you gonna see my name in life, you gonna see me on Broadway. That's never been me. Mm-hmm. I just didn't think about it that way, and I think it's because of my mother. I saw a more realistic view of what a career in the arts looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom, I remember when pennies was tight. I remember when she was unemployed. Like, I knew what that looked like. So Broadway and being famous and being a star was not my mindset. It was more like doing good work, mm-hmm. and taking care of your family. But yeah, I went to Howard, mm-hmm. for theater and then majored in musical theater, and it was probably the best decision I ever made.
Come mm-hmm. through.
Because I went to a white high school with too many white people. Praise God.
That part.
Praise God.
How about you, goodness. Mr. Shade?
Mm-hmm.
I studied musical theater and public relations. Mm-hmm. I was a double major and a minor in theatrical studies at Ball State University. I always knew that I wanted to work in the theater. I always knew that I wanted to be an actor. But my real educational experience came when I moved to New York and started to do something outside of what I always thought that I was doing and really hitting the ground running, learning more about PR, learning more about marketing, learning more about advertising in the theater spaces. So that's my hands-on experience, I think, was my true college education, because nothing could have prepared me for the things that I've experienced, the things that I've gone through. But Ball State was a great starting ground. That was a place where I learned what it meant to be black in a predominantly white space. Even though I went to, white middle schools, I got kicked out of schools like every year in middle school and then my freshman year of high school. Ooh. So I went to like—
For doing what?
All sorts of things.
What?
Like, I mean, fighting. I was a businessman, so I was selling porn magazines.
I'm sorry.
I was a businessman.
Wait, what?
Okay, so I don't think no one ever really knew this, but when I used to get off the school bus, I would have to go to, because I couldn't be home alone, so I would go to a family friend's home. And this family friend had just collected Playboy magazines. And so I would, take one each day, like hide it and like, sneak it into my book bag and take one each day. And then I would go to school and I would sell it. And I went to a Lutheran school. And then I also had I took my mom's computer. Now, they didn't find out really about that aspect of it, but like it came out later on when I took my mother's computer to the school and had like, I put like a porn background on it. On the wallpaper.
Why was you doing the most?
I was doing the most.
Utmost.
Yeah, so it's just I did a lot of different things. So
you was
I was because it was like in my mind I was like this was, I was a businessman, so this was my work computer. And
but you had to have porn as a screen.
As the wallpaper on the computer. So when they got the computer, my mom knew that I had took her computer
so
to school.
Like, you didn't change it when
I didn't. I didn't have time. I didn't have time to change it back. And so when they opened the computer, it was like, oh yeah,
you
you're
was
expelled.
Sweating bullets.
Oh, I mean, I was crying. Like I was trying to use all the tears, like all of my acting ability to like stay in school because this is a school where you only could get like three. Suspensions.
Strikes, yeah.
And once you get three suspensions, you were kicked out of school.
And that was your third?
And that was my third strike. And it was like a week before school was supposed to be out. So I was trying to like, please, begging them, like, please don't tell my mom, like, please don't kick me out. And like, you know, this is predominantly white school. So, yeah, so I got kicked out of there. And like, but I ended up going to like the predominantly black high school for the last 3 years. And so I did.
Out.
It did, because I ended up sort of maneuvering and makeshift, like, directing our theater program, because we didn't have like a real theater program. We just had a person that came that did the plays for a check, and he would always try to make us do like, first year I got there was my sophomore year, he made us do like Picnic and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. I said, we got all these black people here, why are we doing shit like this? And so I started making him do Raisin in the Sun.
So
and
you
Dream
went
Girls.
From Hugh Hefner to George C. Wolfe.
Yes.
All right now.
Look at
so
God.
I mean, I had already done a production of Dream Girls, and I convinced this director to let us do a production of Dream Girls at my high school because I thought that we could do it, and we pulled it off.
That's amazing.
And I pretty much directed that show, and like it was really crazy. But he got mad at me. This is when we talked about that scholarship that I ended up missing out on, because he got mad at me because I didn't do the production of Aida. And he wanted, but he was going to want me to play the white man, Adam Pascal. Uh-huh. And like, I'm not about to do that. Yes. Like, I'm about to go and do West Side Story and try to get my dance training on. So that, so I've always been like a leader in that way, or like try to, you know, change the game and lead for black people in theater. And so that was my little starting ground in high school. And then I went off into Ball State University, and I used to do my own shows every year. I used to do like almost like a musical review of songs that I loved and always wanted to sing. And I had like 9 backup dancers, and like I would take props from the theater department, and like they would let me borrow them. And like I would take costumes and like write a script and like a play that was around all these songs that I loved. And it was called My World, My Musical, This Is Me. Like, you know, just crazy shit. I would do the second year was Share My World. Like,
you was loving Mary J, wasn't you?
Oh, I was. Oh my
this
god,
this is giving me Mary J.
It
Blige
was like
tease.
I was giving. I mean, I had whole poster designs. It was like I was that kid. I mean, but it was like an event for like, because we didn't have shit like at the school, especially for like the black community was small. So I was the president of Trends of Essence, the modeling troupe on campus. I was also doing my own concerts in college, like. And, you know, it was like,
it's
it
so
was
cute.
An event.
I wish I knew this true.
That is so precious.
So, yeah, like, I mean,
oh
I
my
just,
goodness.
Like, I just was making shit happen. And I just love doing, I love putting on events and the process and producing and also starring in it. But, like, I was spread thin and, like, you know, doing a lot. But so that was my beginning of my education. And then I moved to New York a couple of years after I left school. Yeah. So,
and then also a common thread that like I heard that came up is that like education is ongoing. It's not just one particular thing. It's a multitude of different things. And hopefully, as artists, as human beings, we'll always be learning. We'll always be evolving. We'll always be growing in our craft and our humanity.
Yeah. And I think we sort of answered like maybe the first 3 questions in us just talking. Because the second question is, when you were in high school, what career were you trying to pursue? We all just answered that, didn't
we?
Okay.
We did.
The third question is, of your career, if your career is different from your high school plans, what made you change direction?
No.
No, I think I'm still
we were there.
I'm still right on track. Okay. Is there a person that strongly influenced you? What did they do or say that made a difference in your life? Is there a person that strongly influenced you? I'll start. I'll say that I will say that because I did a lot of research, especially in college as a musical theater major, I always looked for faces that looked like mine or voices that I could relate to, stories I could relate to, voices that sounded like me or sounded black. And so I did a lot. And this is like really before like the internet was around, but like it wasn't as in depth. Like Wikipedia wasn't really around. There was like Google was there, but like you really couldn't find black people. You had to really go through like the CD cases and like look at cast pictures and look at the credits. And the people that influenced me the most were, you know, Brian Stokes Mitchell and Norm Lewis. like those two gentlemen really just shaped my idea of what it meant to be a black leading man in theater and musical theater. And so I looked up to them. And so I'll say those two people influenced me, but like directly was my my acting teacher in college. We had one black teacher that worked in the theater department. Her name was Dwandra Lampkin. And she cast me in the Color Museum as Miss Raj. Hey. And I hated her for it. I absolutely hated her for it. I absolutely was like, I don't want to do this. You know, people are going to make fun of me. I don't want to, you know, play a drag queen. It was also during the time I was doing my musical. And I had to get my eyebrows arched. And so I'm on my poster with these arched eyebrows because I didn't have a choice. And so it was just like a time period where I just was like really, I hated it for, but it was one of the best experiences that mm-hmm. I ever could have had as an actor, as, you know, telling a story and really immersing myself in the piece. And I'm so thankful to have that experience. She's also one of the people that told me, like, I needed to get my shit together. And like,
what's her name?
Dwandra Lampkin.
Shout out to Dwandra Lampkin.
Dwandra was, like, everything to me. And she really just motivated. She was the light, the saving grace for me, because I was surrounded by, you know, an all-white theater department. Mm. And she was literally the voice that said, you know, she pulled all the black people aside, like, hey, you need to do this. You need to get your shit together. You need to stop smoking weed. Like, I mean, that was for me, but like everybody wouldn't smoke weed, but that was me because I was smoking crazy. And like, just, you know, buckle down and focus. Like, do you want to be in school or do you want to go off and just start your career right now? Because like, you need to make a decision and figure it out. And so even to this day, she's still, you know, we talk maybe like once a year and she still just motivates me tells me how proud she is of me. And she's still working. I mean, she's still doing television shows and doing her woman show and
come through,
you know, touring the country. And I think she's working maybe at another school now. I think she was at University of Michigan for a bit. So yeah, Dwandra Lampkin is like, shout out to her. She was the most influential
shout
person
out.
For me in doing what it is that I do now.
Shout out. Amber?
I'll take it. I mean, there are so many people, but somebody who really like changed the game for me was Saikhon Sengblo. When I came to New York, I did CAP 21, which was a 6-week program at NYU, where it was like a crash course in all things musical theater. And I was still at Howard. I was a junior in college. Mm-hmm. And she was in Color Purple at the time, and she was the Sealy cover. And this is at a time when Fantasia was Sealy, and people would come to the theater, see that Fantasia was out, and they would get back in their church buses and drive back to Virginia. Like, they did not want to see Saikhon. Mm. And I remember I did the rush tickets. We was outside at 6 a.m., and I got my ticket, and I got to the theater, and I saw these people getting on these buses going back to wherever they came from. And I heard that it was Saikhon Sengblo. And Saikhon was from Atlanta. I knew her, mm-hmm. like, from when I was a little kid. And so the rush tickets are, like, on the front row. And to see a chocolate girl from Atlanta who I knew on Broadway, like, made Broadway tangible in a way that I had never experienced it before.
Wow.
I remember the curtain call and everybody was leaving and she was like the last one to exit and I just yelled, Saikhon! And she turned around and she saw me and she started waving and she like, I came back and I like hugged her and it was like, it was the first time that I believed that I could be on Broadway because of her. I know where you went to school. I know who you studied with. I know where you used to eat wings on Saturday night. Like, I just, something about her being so close to me and where I was from and knowing her struggle and knowing that she could make it here made it, like, I just never thought about Broadway in that way. It was always, like, a real dream of, like, maybe at some point when I'm, like, 50. But to see her at such a young age in a leading role, like, it really blew my mind. And I will always be grateful for Saikhon for always being warm and kind and nurturing and
she's
encouraging.
She's always been that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Amen.
Danya?
Amen. I think it's the people who, like, inspired us, right? I think it's the, like, people, like, I think about my mom, my dad, I think about them being, so I'm the oldest of four. My mom was 15 when she had me. My dad was 16. And I just saw them work really, really hard. By the time my mom was about 18 and my dad was 19, they had 3 kids. And so, like, I just remember them working really, really hard.
And achieving and growing and evolving and getting more and more and more. So I'm like, oh, if you work really hard at something, something can pay off. Like you can get something from the hard work that you put in, whatever that something is. So like that just went off in my mind of, if I really put my mind to something, if I want something, and if I put all of me into it as much as possible, I can be able to get somewhere. So I think about like my mom and my dad, and like the work that they put in and how the odds were against them. Like every odd was against them in every way possible, but they didn't fall victim to it. And if they did, there were moments when you saw them pull themselves out to get back to whatever it was that their purpose was. So they were some of my biggest influences, that anything is possible and that if I work hard enough, I can get to where I want to go. I just have to keep working and above all, believing in me.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's beautiful. Oh my goodness. Okay. Next question is, what are your next steps as you continue to pursue success in your life?
Next steps. What are my next steps?
What are your next steps?
I think... now I'm really interested in, well, not now, because I've always been interested in, but I'm really excited to explore more of. Oh, come through Hennessy.
Right.
Come through. Ooh, Crispy going off.
Drip, drip. Ooh, that was a drip.
Crispy pouring the Hennessy.
Don't you come near me, Chris. Go back to hell where you came from.
But that, it got your voice back.
It's all right, but I don't want to be swinging from the rafters in 2 minutes.
Because I feel like I'm about to, and I just smell it. So I can only imagine with y'all niggas. I am excited to like really expand myself, expand my artistry, and the medium of telling stories for the stage and telling stories for the screen as well. Because I think they're both necessary mediums. I think they're, yes, similar, but different as well. And I'm just really excited to like stretch myself as an artist. So I think what is it, next steps in terms of like doing that?
Yeah.
Just, I guess, telling the stories, like writing the stories and like seeing where they go and like how far I can get with them. So I think that's where I'm at, and I'm excited for what happens with it.
Okay.
Amber? I'm excited about creating more things this year. I wrote my first one-woman show and I wrote a film.
Yes, so you did.
It's a film coming out because you've already filmed
it. It's in editing, babe. It takes January, February is editing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited about seeing what else the hell I can do.
I know that's right.
You know, I kind of like blew my own mind this year at all the shit that I've done. So yeah, I want to take that further. Maybe a TV sitcom, maybe a pilot.
You better live.
Maybe a whole screenplay. I mean, the options, they're endless.
Yes.
You can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that being more career, taking more control over my career, being in that mindset, which I never have been. I've always just been like, well, what play am I gonna do? Who's gonna cast me?
Mm.
And now I'm like, what can I write for myself? What story do I wanna tell?
Yeah.
And I want to walk fully in that space. I want to produce more events and things. I have some things that I want to do that I'm excited about figuring out how the hell am I gonna pull that off. I wanna do more stuff with Broadway Advocacy Coalition. We have a course that we're teaching at Columbia next year, which is amazing. So I think just taking everything to the next level, I want to walk in my purpose more.
Amen.
That's the next step.
Yeah.
Is like fully, wholly taking advantage of all the skills that I've been given.
That's real.
Amen.
Yeah, I think that's the next step.
Yeah, I echo those sentiments of both of you. Walking more in my purpose and I think just figuring it out one day at a time and what I can do to be to excel what my mission is with Broadway Black, excel with my mission and be representative of what my mission is in my own personal life, in my own career, in being an actor and being an artist, you know, doing a little bit more music. Yeah, just doing what it is that fuels me and fills me up so that way I can have something to you know, give others and be able to pour out more. Mm-hmm. Because Broadway Black is never going away. It's just about how can I do it in a more healthy way for me. Mm-hmm. And so discovering what that means and how to execute it. And so execution is like a big thing for 2019. I've written down some goals and written down mm-hmm. some things that I would like to happen and how I'm going to make those things happen. I'm not technically sure yet. But, you know, now that they're there and they're in the forefront of my mind, I can sort of make the steps just one step at a time and walk blindly if I need to. Mm-hmm. But walk in faith. So I'm walking in faith in 2019. Come That's through. The next step.
Love it.
What are, as a senior in high school, I want to pursue a career in musical theater. What advice would you offer me?
Oh, boy.
Let them know, princess.
I felt like this was a me question.
Yeah.
You're a black woman in musical theater, which is a tricky thing. I think you're a black woman. Do we know?
I don't know.
We don't know what you are. Mm-mm. You could be white.
Right.
She devil.
Or Latina.
I don't know. Okay. Well.
Don't call her a she devil.
I'm just kidding. Musical theater is a tricky thing. I'd say.
Do you really want to do that?
That's the first thing I would say. Oh. That is the first thing I would say.
No, seriously.
You sure? I'd say this. You just have to figure out who you are, figure out your voice, figure out what stories you want to tell. I don't even mean on the creating front. I just mean it's so, so easy to get typed in musical theater, especially as an artist of color. They just want to know, can you be Celia? Can you be Effie? And if you don't know, you can get swept up into doing and being something that you are not and that you don't want to be just because you were trying to keep a job. You have to be confident in your instrument, in your voice. I know my instrument very well. I'm not J. Hud. I am not Fantasia. I do not want to scream and do loud singing all day, every day. And it took a while for me to be okay with that. I'm still growing into loving my instrument and appreciating it for all that it can do. And it's very tricky because you want to work. And so you start thinking, well, maybe I should aspire to be more like these other women, even though that's not my lane and that's not what I love, but I want to be working consistently. And it's hard when you first graduate because you're green and you think that you have to take every gig because you're scared that every gig is the gig. Mm. Like I said yes to everything when I first moved to New York because I always thought that was going to be the one that was going to like catapult me, even stuff that was wrong, stuff that I didn't want to do, stuff that I didn't like. So you just have to, as quickly as you can, it takes time because all things are about growth and maturity and age and wisdom, but figure out who you are and what your instrument does and what you love about it and try to gravitate towards things that are going to feed you and things that are going to challenge and motivate you. But don't be out here just doing anything just because you want to work. Mm-hmm. And it's a trap that we all fall into mm-hmm. at some point. But if you're aware of it, you can at least clock it. You can be like, okay, I'm going to take this gig. It's not really something I want to do, but I need this 2 weeks of insurance and I need this gig and I need this money and I need this experience, you know? Right. But just figuring out who you are and what you want to do and doing plays. Sometimes you just don't need to do a musical. Go and just say some words. Go do some Shakespeare. Go do some TV and film. I think musical theater kids get caught up in being musical theater kids. And right. that makes us not well-rounded artists.
And we also have to remember that everybody ain't a theater person.
They aren't.
Like, most people are not theater people. They do not understand it. It's not, you know, an avenue to fame and fortune. You have to do it because you love it.
Yeah.
And then you put something on your IG story about theater people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was something about that. Just like, I have to remind myself too that everybody ain't theater people. Uh-huh. And you have to operate in that space too. Because also, because I'm so connected to theater people, I used to get in my head too about like trying to get the news out and trying to talk. I was like, well, everybody already knows. But there's always somebody that is the information will be new to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's always somebody that needs to have the education or needs the knowledge. And they're going to be exposed to it for the first time through you.
Yeah.
And so just remember that too, that you are... you are a light. You can mm-hmm. be a light in the theater community. You can be...
bless me.
Bless you, yes.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. You can be a light, and you don't have to feel as though that you're at the bottom of the totem pole, because there are so many different people that are not exposed to the wonderfulness and the transformative experiences of theater. So make sure you get education. Educate yourself and go choose the right program, choose the right university, choose the right area that feeds you. It could be a small program, it could be a well-known program, whatever feeds you, whatever college or a university feeds you, to make sure that you get everything that you feel like you need in order to succeed. Set yourself up for success.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah, so the next question is, oh, well, here we go. My plan is to either go to a community college, then go to my local university, but the other option would be going to an academy that I've recently discovered called AMDA. I was wondering, what advice can you give me about AMDA?
None, but why do you want to go to community college first? What is that about?
Maybe that might be a money thing. It might be a comfortability thing.
As long as it's not driven out of fear. Like, yeah, like, unless you're like, if it's money, that's one thing, but why?
But, and I know a lot of people that have went to AMDA that are, you know, working on Broadway. Yeah. That's a thing. But and AMDA is really what you put into it. It's really, you get out of it what you, and that's really any program, I guess you can say too. But yeah, I mean, look at all the options and figure out what's best for you. But is community college really going to give you that
what
good
you need?
Start to study? Like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's different if you study in, like,
unless you're just getting, like, all your general studies out the way first or something.
Right, but depending on what school you go to, you might not even have that many general studies. You know, you might be wasting your own time.
Right.
Yeah. And sometimes they won't even transfer.
And then you transferring as a sophomore, and then they like, nah, you a freshman. And now you got 5 years of college instead of four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. Unless it's financial, I don't understand why you're going to community college first.
Yeah.
You really, like, weigh that option a bit more. And you started off by saying you have, like, a tutor to put you on to us. Like, you have a direct person to talk to. Like, talk to this person.
Because they know more about
exactly.
you.
And I don't know any community college that's, like, killing the game in theater.
I don't either.
You know what I mean? Like, that's different if you're studying, like, literature.
Uh-huh.
But why are you going to a community college for the arts?
Right. Because if they teach at a community college, then they ain't working.
It ain't, yeah.
No shade, but right. Okay, so we're gonna move right along. Thank you so much, Claudia, for all your questions. We hope that helps
every single one of them.
Yeah, we really appreciate you, and we wish you the best of luck. Write back in and tell us what you decide, what happened. You know the email, offbook@broadwayblack.com, but we'd love to hear from you and get an update. So next question comes from Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, "Hey guys, I want to keep this short, so here goes. Is there a list store or website where Black plays can be purchased? Two, I also, so I want to work with Black creators in D.C., but have not found anything yet. I moved here October 2017. Shout out to Princess Ambry Iman, a fellow Bison. Drew, you're too cool.
Hey, Drew.
Drew, you're too cool. We chatted briefly in 2015 after Brandy and Chicago show. Danye, I can't wait to see your work on stage. Jeffrey." So the first question is there a list store or website where Black plays can be purchased? And no, there is not. Mm-hmm. I hope to build one soon, but there isn't one where you can just directly, you have to know the playwright's name. You have to go to, Samuel French and the different public, you know, people that publish plays and practically look, like literally look for the plays that you want. You got to search for them. So there isn't just a place for Black plays, unfortunately. But that's a good business idea.
Mm-hmm.
I can work on that, but I ain't gonna be spreading myself too thin. Don't get me to thinking about it, because I will, and I'll start thinking about it hard, then I'll be like, oh fuck.
So
there's not. So, and he says, okay, so you might know about this, Amber. So I want to network with Black creators in DC, but have not found anything yet. Is there anything for people to network and connect with black theater
in DC?
People in DC,
I feel like there's like one of them We Black in DC Facebook groups. I need to find that page, because I feel like I've seen, because every year the DC has the Helen Hayes Awards, and every year they take a photo of all the Black people at the Helen Hayes Awards and they post it on this page. So I'm gonna take this email address and I'm gonna send you the link, because I think they do have a group on Facebook and they communicate and hang out.
This is Jeffrey Fleming. He actually just, you just retweeted him.
Oh.
He said that he's been shouting more.
Yes,
and
yeah.
He's been saying, come through because of Danye. Yeah,
come through.
Okay. I'm going to find that, Jeffrey, and I'm going to hit you back with that.
Awesome. Thank you, Jeffrey, for writing in and sending your question.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. Next question comes from Ladarian is back.
Hey,
Ladarian loves us, y'all.
He do. He loves Ladarian.
He said, "Hey, off book. It's Ladarian. Hey, y'all. I have an interesting question. I know we talked about hating being the token Black performer in a cast or group. Do you think you would be willing to be the token Black guy if the contract or paycheck was right for your first Equity House gig or for your Equity card, for your Broadway debut, etc.? Do you think it's worth being the token if you can excel your career? Love hearing your thoughts. Thanks, and continue being fierce and fabulous."
My first thought was hell to the no, no.
Listen, then... I have had, like, y'all, I don't even think y'all understand that I have had opportunities or been in places or people have called me into auditions where I could have gotten so many different opportunities, but I did not want to sacrifice being uncomfortable or being put in a place where I felt like I was going to be the only black person, or I just simply cannot do it. The way my temperament is mm-hmm. set up, I just don't have the patience, and I feel like I would do myself more of a disservice to the process and to, you know, working with the people. I would probably damage my name so horribly that I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. And maybe one day that might change. Maybe if I have a Broadway debut or if it's a show that I really like and I'm the only black person, or it'd have to be like some solid message. It'd have to be something like so dope, like I would just have to really believe in it. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see that happening.
It's weird though, because sometimes you don't know that you're the token mm-hmm. when you're auditioning. Like, you might not find out till you get in the room and you're like, oh shit. So like, sometimes it happens on accident.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not aware. You don't always know with these things. If you are aware of it, I mean, it depends on where you are in your life. If you just start now, I'm in a different place in my life. I ain't finna be a token. But I also can't tell you what to do because I don't know your bank account and your bills and your right. student loans. Of course, I'm always going to tell you no. But I also understand that this is a real world. And sometimes if it's a 3-week gig, bitch, you got to do what the hell you got to do.
Right.
Like, the older I get, I understand that. I used to look down on people like, how did you take that gig? Oh my God, you sold out. Like, but now I'm like, people have bills. People have children. Mm-hmm. People got lights that need to stay on. And every now and then, sometimes you got to do the ones that you don't want to have to do to give you the opportunity to say yes to all the things that you want to do.
Right, because those same people might be working on the same projects. Theater community is small, y'all.
Yes.
Like, it's so small. Like, people are hopping from job to job just like you want to do and just like you are doing. And they might like you from a previous job and want to bring you onto a show that you actually really want to do.
Yeah.
Some people do
a gig like, I am taking this gig because this exact amount of money will pay off my student loans and mm-hmm. I will never have to pay them again. Like, I understand that. I think that's life. Like, yeah. We don't always get to do the perfect role, the perfect show, the perfect gig. It's not designed like that. But if you go into it, like, this would be the only time I'm only doing this shit to get my equity card and then never again, sometimes you got to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
And you said sometimes you don't know if you're the token. It's because you may not get the, like, you may not see the script or the project beforehand.
You have no idea. There have definitely been times when... Or, like, the breakdown will roll out and be like, oh, we're casting all colors and shapes and sizes, which I've seen happen before. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh. And then I get it, and I'm like, but y'all cast 12 white people in me. But you don't know that until day one mm-hmm. when you sign the contract. So it's tricky. Sometimes you get tricked.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get a role that's beautiful, and then by the time you get to the end of the process, they've rewritten a whole nother role that's not what you signed up for.
Right.
That happens, too. So you just got to be smart about it.
Yeah.
That's the only
advice. Roll with the punches.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. It's a getcha gotcha.
It's a getcha gotcha.
Yeah. White people are tricky.
Ha ha.
I'm serious.
Just the way you said it.
I be getting mad.
Shit. I felt it. You jumped in everything when you said that.
Cuz, like, tricky bastards.
Help.
Except for kids.
Dang. You got me again.
The getcha gotcha.
I will say this later because I don't know why this keeps coming to mind, but I'll say it later. This next letter is from Zachary. Zachary says, hello, Drew, Danye, Princess, Amber, Chris, and anyone else who lends their time, coins, and mental capacity to this podcast.
Yes.
It's greatly appreciated. Long-time listener, first-time writing.
Okay.
I'm keeping this short, I guess. First, I wanted to tell you, Drew, that I'm playing Skeeter in the First Noel in Fort Worth, Texas right now, and I love this show. Things change. Life happens. That is my shit.
Yes,
come on, Skeeter. Like, listen.
Look short.
Uh-oh.
It is. I mean, it's not that bad.
Okay.
So I'm already halfway through. But yes, come on for playing Life, Things Change. You know, I mean, First Noel, you know what I'm trying to say.
Come through.
I love the show. I'm so glad you're doing it. It's a wonderful piece. Have fun. He says, I have a question in the name of the $5 word diversity. Many actors of color are getting opportunities to tell stories and play characters that weren't written with them in mind. I've been cast as Moritz in Spring Awakening. Is that how you say it?
Moritz.
In Spring Awakening, because see, I ain't even really seen Spring Awakening. I mean, I fell asleep on it, you know, when they had the deaf people here on Broadway.
Hi.
What?
Are you saying you fell asleep on the deaf people?
I mean, I fell asleep during the show, like, because it just, it's not that good to me. But it's not because they were deaf. Like,
that's what it sounded like.
You no. just sometimes you just word things in a way where you set yourself up like, nigga.
That's no, it's not because they were deaf. It just wasn't that great of a show to me. But it, I mean, it was beautiful, like the way that they, you know, sort of. Yes, it was beautiful. It's a beautiful show, but it's just not for me. God, y'all, leave me alone.
We didn't say it.
We ain't say a word. You said all the words. Did you finish reading?
No, because she is.
Jesus.
Did you hear what she just said?
What'd she say? Can you even repeat it? Should it be repeated? That's the question.
Oh my God.
Because the princess is showing off.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I realize what I said.
Oh my God. Okay. Woo.
I actually want to hear it, but I'm scared for it to be repeated.
We didn't want to get letters from deaf people complaining about us saying that, and then I realized that they wouldn't know.
You see how stuff can come out wrong?
I didn't mean it. I just meant,
I
like,
know.
I didn't want him to be, like, you know, offending people, offending right. deaf people. So I didn't want us them writing letters to him being like, how dare you? That's and then I was I like, oh.
Oh, my God.
I did Dying not my- sign up for this show. Amber, we're talking about signing contracts. I did not sign up for this.
Oh, my God. Okay. We just want, y'all, please forgive
Keep
us.
Reading. Yeah.
Zachary, what did you start?
Oh my gosh, he said, I'm excited to have the opportunity to do something different with the character as I am visiting the text in preparation for rehearsals to begin. I'm hyper aware of my blackness and how it affects and even complicates some of the moments in the show. My question is, when you approach these types of traditional white characters, how do you balance giving an honest portrayal of the character that encompasses the added nuance of my black ass presence in this white ass world on and off stage? I hope that makes sense.
It doesn't. Can you read that again?
Yeah,
yep, it says, my question is, when you approach these types of traditionally white characters, how do you balance giving an honest portrayal of the character that encompasses the added nuances of my black ass presence in this white ass world on and off stage? So how do you...
It's not that deep. It, you just tell the truth. Like, I don't... If I play...
Use the text and tell the truth.
You use the text and tell the truth. I've played plenty of those characters. I don't look at the script and be like, how do I bring my blackness? No, I just am. I just mm-hmm. use my point of view. I use given circumstances of the text. Where are we? What time is it? What period is it? What do I learn about myself from reading what all the other characters are saying about me? What conversation are you having with your director? How are we approaching this? Are we... Because sometimes...
Yeah, if you feel like there are moments in the show that would change because you're black...
Then talk about
then,
it.
Then, yeah, you need to have the conversation.
Yeah, but it's just use the text and tell the truth, is it?
Right.
It's not that big of a deal.
I just don't play these roles.
No, wait, is this... Because I think I'm still a little confused. Is mm-hmm. this specifically talking about, like, white writers who write?
This
black
is specifically
characters.
Talking about Spring Awakening.
Spring Awakening, it was okay. written with white people in mind for white people.
Right.
So okay. he's like, oh, I'm black playing this role, and how do I do all these things? It's like, you just tell the truth.
Okay.
Yeah. This is not a... Yeah, it's Spring Awakening is not for black people.
Mm-hmm.
But
I got it.
Yeah. Yeah, just tell the truth. Amber said it.
Yeah.
Like, or just don't play the role. Just don't do it. I only be playing black people. Like, I'm racially ambiguous, but I feel like I be feeling like I'm not about to be racially ambiguous because I know that I'm black. Like, I could do it.
Because it's not about, like, the thing about these shows is you're not going to add text. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be like, well, I think she would start by saying, well, girl, bye. Like, you're not right. adding phrases. You're not adding sentiments that are black. You
Why
can
you
only.
Go on to the black girls?
But you know what? Like, that's what he said. Like, how do I bring my blackness? Like, you can't do it by adding things. You just use your point of view as a black person. Like, how would you say this line? Like, how would you approach it? What would be your subtext behind how you say this line? That's what you can do. But other than that, it's just using what's given.
And I'm gonna say a little secret. If you black and you on stage,
they gonna know you
they
black.
Gonna see a black person.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything else.
Best. They don't have to do anything.
It is literally
else.
That simple. Just be yourself.
Exactly.
Right. Which
it is unspoken.
Existing.
Yep.
Hello. Goodbye.
Yep, that's it. Okay. And so my last question is, what are your New Year's resolutions?
Damn, you took what I was finna do. Oh, so I got a part two to that.
Okay.
Okay.
So first, my part is, What are three things that you want to leave in 2018?
Ooh. Ooh.
So is New Year's resolution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So three things I don't want to do in 2019. Three things that I do
want to do. Okay, perfect. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, you want to start then? Since
ooh,
you know?
What do I want to leave? I want to leave a spirit of doubt, self-doubt. I can do anything, mm-hmm. period. And the doubt likes to creep up and self-sabotage,
mm-hmm.
and mix with fear, and it can ruin a good thing before you even start.
Yes.
I need to leave that in 2018. I need to leave procrastination.
You took mine.
In 2018. And a feeling that I'm not worth or deserving of certain things in my life.
Wow, do you think you're me?
Those are my three. Three things I want in my New Year's. I don't do resolutions. I do more like manifestations.
Yes, come on.
Like things I want to do. I want to have a role, series regular, recurring guest star, co-star on a television show.
Yes.
I want to walk into some financial prosperity. Need to build on my bank account, Lord Jesus. I need to, yes, God, I need to manifest money in 2019. Prosperity and increase. And I want to create something wonderful for myself. I don't know quite yet what I want it to be, but creation, a new project for me.
Amen.
Those are my three.
Awesome.
Drew, what do you want to leave?
I want to leave, mine is definitely the spirit of procrastination. Disorganization, I'll say, is attached to that. I am not the most organized person because my brain, I'm not even going to claim that. I presently struggle with organization, and so I want to be able to walk into 2019 more organized. Mm. I also want to leave behind my anger. I have deep rooted anger, and things that I've held on to, and things that cause me to lash out, and I'm triggered by just all sorts of things. And so I think that it's a generational curse in my family, dealing with my father's side, that I presently struggle with controlling my anger, and I'm very intense. So I want to try to decrease the intensity. And I would like to leave behind, I think I have body dysphoria. I think that's what it's called.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. Where I always view myself as fat. I want to sort of love my body more. Mm. And so I want to leave that view of myself behind, because I always am thinking like, oh, I don't want to work out too hard because I want my neck to be larger than my head, and I don't want to I don't want to have my stomach is shaking when I brush my teeth. I don't want that to you know what I'm saying? Like, I just have like weird quirks about my body that are just not normal, and that's just not okay. So I want to leave that behind. In 2019, my biggest thing was, figuring out how I was going to get my equity card. That was my biggest thing, because I want to be able to work and do projects like The Preacher's Wife, and I want to be able to be looked at seriously, and want to be able to do projects that I believe in and I'm passionate about. And I can't do that if I'm not in the same playing field with the people that can audition for these things. And so I want to be on the playing field. And so that's already happening, but I want to manifest more of I want to manifest more of being like a style influencer for theater, because I think that will bring more people into wanting to be a part of theater. So I want to manifest some type of style format or platform with Broadway Black, making it a little bit more stylish and highlighting Black people in a more creative way. Also want to Let's see. What else do I want to do 2019? I want to be in a crop top by summertime.
Come through.
Yeah.
He felt that and he meant it.
I really do. I really want to be in a crop top by summertime. So I'm manifesting that for my life. I think I got up three, right?
Yeah.
Okay. True. Perfect.
Oh, you know what I would love for you?
What?
I'm nervous.
A crop top and some coochie cutters.
I would love to be able to feel confident and walk around in that.
Come through.
I really would. I really would. Like maybe by the picnic, by the black queer in here picnic, I'll be able to, you know, feel confident and walk around in a coochie cutter and a crop top.
And you're gonna be blind again.
I would do that for you. I would.
Then you, what do you leave him?
Look, she's trying to rush along.
She can't take your full unapologetic queerness.
I did not say that at all.
Because you already been talking reckless on this episode.
Right.
Okay.
But you better sit there and just eat your apple.
Okay.
I'm gonna eat my apple. Danya, what are you leaving in 2018?
What am I leaving in 2018? I want to leave, not I want to, I will leave, fear, because I felt in certain aspects it creeping up and manifesting in different ways and looking like different things, but I know at the root of it, it was fear. So I plan on leaving fear in 2018. I plan on leaving, and I actually didn't realize it's something that I was doing or that I was associating until like listening to y'all, and I was like, oh, this is something that I realized has been happening. Knowing how big social media is and what an influence it has on our culture, like I've realized that I've become attached to it in a certain way, and there were moments where like likes would equate worth and value and visibility, and I want to, and I plan on like leaving that in 2018, because that means absolutely nothing in like the grand scheme of things, a like or a comment or anything like that. So leaving that behind, and then also I plan on leaving behind like bad habits, particularly in terms of like, well, I'm thinking specifically in terms of like eating. I am
some
like
more crab.
Pescatarian with it still
now
exists.
That peppercorn crab. Okay, so we went to the
peppercorn
restaurant.
Peppercorn lobster.
A lobster, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That lobster, we went to the restaurant he got this lobster from, and I ordered that shit, and I actually want to go back and get it again.
Because y'all know I live for lobster.
We should go really as a group. I don't know why y'all keep leaving a bitch out.
Because you were
be
living
booked
your whole entire
right,
life last Sunday.
After 6 o'clock, a bitch is free, okay?
Okay, but we can do that. I do plan on leaving behind like bad eating habits, because a nigga will eat Sour Patch Kids.
Wait, bitch, you're not even going to be here. You about to be going to L.A.
I'm 5 more days, bitches. Things can happen in 5 days.
Okay.
I guess.
Thank you. Keep talking, Tanya.
So, yes, leaving behind those things and the bad eating habits in 2019, I plan on being more present and showing up more for the people in my life, which ties into the second thing, which is I found myself in 2018 really focused and throwing myself into work a lot, where people would be like, oh, I know you won't be able to do this because you're busy. I know I won't be able to see you because you're busy, which I respect and which like I'm grateful to have people that understand that. But then also I want to show up more for these people and spend more time with folks. And the third thing that I think I want to manifest in 2019 is that's a good one. I feel like it's something that's tied into like my art, into my work, which like I feel is starting to happen right now, and just really throwing more of myself and my truth into the work in a way where it doesn't hinder me, in a way where
triggers aren't happening, but in a way where I feel myself becoming liberated and growing and evolving and expanding. So I think those are the three things that I want to manifest in 2019.
Awesome. Chris?
Mm-hmm. Chris, well, come on over
Bring
here.
Bring your ass over here, Chris.
Oh, Chris, like I got my
oh,
own
Chris
mic.
Oh, Chris got his own mic.
He's like, I don't need to go over there.
Hey, Chris.
Well, you should have been using that mic the whole time then.
I know, I'd be asking.
Look, listen, all right. Okay. I forgot the question.
Okay. So name three things that you want to leave in 2018.
Yeah.
All right. Much like Drew, I also got a little bit of a mean streak with anger and shit.
What, so, nigga?
Chris, you
talk.
Mean?
Yeah, I'm a little angry sometimes, but I'm gonna.
Can
leave
you
that
channel
behind.
It in good ways?
I mean, you know.
Okay.
Let's start leading with love, Chris.
Lead with love.
We're gonna start that. I'm gonna attempt it. I'm gonna at least attempt it.
Okay.
So that's one. Secondly, I mean, that's it. Cause I think I'm doing good so far.
Okay.
I'm gonna be honest. You know, it's a little. Don't laugh at me, Alyssa.
But, you gonna leave some of them thoughts in 2018?
First of all, those are modeling friends.
That's modeling what they call friends. Them. Yes,
oh,
what, that's
you
that's
found
the,
them on Model Mayhem.
I haven't touched that.
Model Mayhem. Oh.
I swear, I haven't touched any of those young ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one.
Now it comes out. Look.
That was a long time ago. But
okay.
You're a regular Offset, huh?
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
Renee
just shot fired.
Renee
shot fired.
I'm gonna insert that. Yeah. Now. I mean, I got started on all of this New Year's shit a long time ago. So I'm on track. I'm still doing. You know. I'm still working on shit from last year. So.
Amen. Okay. So we leaving in thoughts and okay. Now what you wanna. Do what you want to manifest for 2019.
I just want to enjoy a lot more quality time and less social media, less business. Even though you know that's kind of paying the bills, so I'm gonna do more of that. But I want a lot more quality time.
That's right.
Away from the phone, away from technology.
That's
yeah,
real.
Let's fucking go fishing.
Hell yeah!
Or we can
have
all
a good
go,
fish fry.
Let's all go get drunk at BBQs one night. I'm just
listen,
saying, like,
Texas size.
Fucking, okay,
Texas size, Hennessy Coolada. We're going to arrange that, you know what I'm saying? But other than that,
we need to do that.
I'm chilling.
I felt that in my spirit.
Let's go get drunk.
That kind of would be awesome.
Like, we need to get up, you know what I'm saying? And
we
do this
do,
shit.
Chris. I put on my lip gloss for that.
I say that because most podcasts, they don't even hang out outside of the confines of this room.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So that's how you build a better team and you stay close and shit.
Yeah. And we do fuck with each other a long time.
Come on.
But we need to do some things as a foursome. We need to get Chris in on the fucking
group. I'm out there, man. I'm out there. I'm here to support, you know what I mean? Let's do it.
This is the first time they really hearing your voice. So
this
like,
is.
Yeah, Chris, tell us. Say
they're
some,
creaming
say some
right
other
now.
Sexy things in your voice, Chris.
I'm just saying, if y'all want to inbox me or something like that, just.
Don't inbox Chris. No, don't do that.
Email
we leaving. No, we leaving that in 2018.
You know what he said? If y'all want to inbox me or something like that.
Y'all can inbox me. Don't inbox Chris. Thank
well,
you.
You can inbox Amber because I'm on a little social media sabbatical, so you know, I'm taking a break from that
so
shit.
So inbox me and I'll read your thoughts and pass them to Chris. And by that, I mean I won't.
Right.
She will
I'm
not.
With that too. I'm with that too. But I appreciate y'all. Like, honestly, if anything, just more hanging out and appreciating y'all more than anything. You know what I mean?
More more specifically.
I fucks with whoever fucks with me.
Yes.
You know, we fucks with you hard, Chris.
Yeah.
I fucks with y'all, so, you know,
me more than everybody.
We're going to hang out more. We're going to get drunk more.
Mm-hmm.
Going to get drunk more.
I'm going to make sure I got some more Hennessy in y'all cups.
Yes.
Or three of y'all. Donnie next.
Daya is like not here for
Daya
it.
Daya will not be next. I'll be here with y'all. Support y'all.
We went to a whole party that was open bar. Like, literally,
and
everybody was drunk
the entire time.
Everybody was drunk. I mean, it was a whole Tony Awards party, and Danye's in the middle of the floor, sweating the hardest, dancing the hardest, sober.
Wait, Danye, do you do any other kind of libation? Like, not
nothing.
Liquor, not weed, not.
Not a single
okay, not a okay. Like, he is completely sober.
Is food
thing.
Your vice? Is you.
It is.
Okay. Okay.
Candy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good
but he don't like
know.
Nutella. Oh.
You say what?
You don't like Nutella.
No, I will throw that away in a heartbeat.
He sent me a video of him throwing away my Nutella.
That he left for over a year.
Okay, no.
He didn't add that part. He okay. didn't add that part.
But okay. why? I just got a video of him doing this. He said he...
threw it in the trash.
Threw it in the trash. He just held it up to the Nutella and just said, doop, and then looked and then looked to put the camera in the trash like, well, I can
I
see that it's gone.
Dead.
It's gone. Rude. Rudity.
Well, Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year, everybody. We just love y'all so much. We thank y'all so much for joining us. and being off book with us all this time.
Yes.
I mean, we have been.
This is our first year back.
This is like we've been consistent in 2018. This is the most consistent I've ever been.
Y'all need to send us congratulation emails because we did that.
We did. And we plan on doing it in 2019.
Come on, y'all not ready for 2019.
2019 is bringing you a live show, bringing you merchandise, bringing you all sorts of goodies. And I'm really excited. Some
off book finds love for Amber.
Yeah, yeah.
The dating game.
We also have a monologue competition coming.
We had a lot happening. And then also, if anybody wants to send me like dick pictures and what have you, because y'all know how my Instagram is.
You know what?
I support it. I'll post it.
Make sure the lighting is right, y'all. Make sure it's pretty.
It got to be artistic.
Right.
I'm dead.
Okay. Just can't be a dick for the sake of a dick.
Help me.
I mean, even though you can.
You can really.
You can send me a couple of those.
Oh, I will. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
They'll send it to me, and I'll send it to you.
Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm.
That's what's up. Okay. Are we doing the clapback section in 2019?
Oh, I was actually thinking about that earlier.
Yeah.
I'm like, do we want to?
We might have to do a new section.
Do we want to? Because we were talking about leading with love.
Well, I mean, yeah. But people, that's them clapping back on me. about shit that I say. I mean, because I'm not going to stop saying my truth. But you know, we might develop a new section in 2019. But if you didn't listen to the episode last week, but he did like when you said the clap back, he did like a little special effect.
Oh, come through.
Really, it was really cute. So we gotta develop some new sections. If y'all have an idea of like a new segment we should do on a show, email us, let us know. Please write in. Email us your listener letters. We love hearing from you. If you have any opinions about things that we talk about, you are a part of this. You are off book too.
Yes.
It's not just us. We want to hear from you. Mm-hmm. So email offbook@broadwayblack.com. And you know, we're going to be in the building.
Hey,
2019.
All day, every day.
Come through. Let's go, 2019.
So thank y'all so much for listening to a brand new
episode of Off Book.
Happy New Year, Chris.
We've hit our marks and we've done it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Danya Love.
I'm Princess Queen Empress Amberima.
Yeah, this is Chris.
Thank y'all. Y'all be easy.
Happy New Year.
All righty. So this ain't gonna be long. This is gonna be like, you know, a real little special, little cute little something to get
holiday
people for the
special.
Yeah. Something real cute to give. You ready, Diane?
Mm-hmm.
What you giving?
Giving Facebook teas.
Okay.
Come on.
What's wrong? Facebook teas.
He gets on my nerves. And I know it. When you and Danya getting married?
Say what?
When you and Danya getting married? I mean, you and Brandon getting married. I said you and Danya, but when you and Brandon getting married? Because I just looked at your ring and just made me think about it.
What you mean?
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.